Ladies and gentlemen, it's 7 o'clock on a Saturday night, and as usual, that means it's time for The Other Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Stacy McCain.
And I am not. Hi, folks. It's the other guy on The Other Podcast. Hi, I'm John Hoag, and I see here on my control panel that Diana has entered the live studio. Hi, Diana.
Hey there. I'm here. We have 100% relative humidity. My hair is standing out. It is amazing. I've never experienced anything like this before in my life.
100% humidity. What's the temperature in Valdosta?
Currently, it is 56 degrees.
Well, it was 27 when I came in the door here. And trying to rain.
Freezing rain. I had expected we would be doing this by remote.
But I was able to get out of my driveway and drive through mostly sane roads to get here.
Well, if you die in a fiery crash on the way home, don't blame me. I tried to dissuade you.
Well, I mean, some of us will do anything to stay warm in the winter.
Yeah, well, anyway.
But you know what? We usually, in the fall and early part of the winter, talk about college football. But we're going to talk about pro ball today because Stacy's a racist.
He is?
Yes. America is.
Yeah,
yeah. America is racist because the Super Bowl ratings last weekend crashed to their lowest level since 1969.
Yeah, but at least no one had to say about Tom Brady, who was that masked man anyway.
Yeah. As I pointed out on my blog, theothermccain.com, which is where you can find my stuff regularly.
You can also find him at other fine spots around the interwebs like thespectator.org.
Yes. Well, anyways, but at The Other McCain, I wrote that professional sports teams derive most of their revenue from TV contracts. If fewer people are watching sports on TV, that's less revenue for the teams, and ultimately the players will be paid less. Because 69% of NFL players are black, guess who will suffer the most? The ratings for Super Bowl 55 are in, and the news is not good. I quote from Breitbart.com. The numbers show that viewership fell 9% this year, making the game the lowest rated Super Bowl in more than 50 years. Anyways, but if you didn't watch the game, this is proof that you're racist because millionaire athlete lives matter.
On the other hand, Jeep probably got hurt less by that commercial because the ratings were so bad.
Yeah, nobody saw that bad commercial with the drunk driver, Bruce Springsteen.
I was going to bring that up. Wasn't that just the icing on the cake?
Actually, it was. But let's move on to the more important news of the week. The big story, of course, I wrote about it earlier in the week.
That's at John's blog, yes. Hogwash.com.
Yeah, and at Hogwash.com, I have this thing that has been a running gag about some of the lawsuits I've been involved in where basically the other side put out a bunch of nonsense, and I had this prevarication du jour and other kinds of things, du jour posts that I did for a while. This is the hoax de l'année, the hoax of the year.
Yeah, in French. He's fancy there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I made an A in French in high school, at least one semester.
Very anyway.
I was there. I'll say this about my high school French class. I was physically there most of the time.
Well, anyway.
I was basically what was the character? Jeff Spicoli in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. It was that was me in high school.
Actually, I had figured you for one of the guys at Animal House. But,
yeah. Okay. But that was well, college. Meanwhile, back at the blog.
Basically, I started off with a quote from Lawrence Pearson over at Battleswarm Blog. For the party that failed to flip a single state house chamber in November, Democrats are freebasing dangerous levels of their own bullshit. In ratcheting up the rhetorical hysteria, you don't get high on your own supply, because the moment you start deluding yourself, reality has a nasty way of smacking you upside the head. And basically, my whole thing about the week's news was, let them have impeachment tube electric boogaloo. It won't result in a conviction, and it won't affect Donald Trump's standing with his supporters or his detractors either. Mm-hmm. But it will delay the Senate from taking action on any of Biden's initial legislative goals and keep them from confirming any of his fraudulently nominees. And so basically my whole thing at the beginning of the week was advising people to enjoy the show. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I then included a tweet from Scott Adams. The purpose of impeachment is to remove Trump from the real estate he owns in the brains of Democrats. holding him accountable part is laughably stupid. So it got to the end today, Stacy, and you've already blogged about it.
Yes. Right now at the top of my blog, theothermccain.com, which I promote relentlessly and without shame, the headline is Impeachment 2.0 Farce is Over. The Democrats spent the past week, and by the way, I mainly ignored, I think as most people did, ignored all this show. The Democrats spent the past week staging a Stalinist show trial in the Senate, which came to a predictable end today when they failed to get the necessary two-thirds majority for conviction. Our president, you know, the guy who actually won the election, issued this statement. I'm quoting President Donald Trump. This has been yet another phase of the greatest witch hunt in the history of our country. No president has ever gone through anything like it, and it continues because our opponents cannot forget the almost 75 million people, the highest number ever for a sitting president, who voted for us just a few months ago. I also want to convey my gratitude to the millions of decent, hardworking, law-abiding, God and country-loving citizens who have bravely supported these important principles in these very difficult and challenging times. Our historic, patriotic, and beautiful movement to make America great again has only just begun. And he goes on from there, concluding, may God bless all of you, and may God forever bless the United States of America. And I make this comment. Here is a fact that should not be forgotten. 61% of Republicans believe the 2020 election was stolen. And a majority of Americans don't believe anyone should be punished for saying they believe it was stolen. What Democrats have done in this impeachment was an attempt to criminalize dissent, to make it a high crime and misdemeanor for President Trump to say what most Republicans believe. If it's inciting insurrection, to say Democrats stole the election for Biden, then they're going to have to put a lot of us in prison, and they might as well start with me.
Well,
I'm right beside you.
Well, you know, I actually watched a bunch of it. And well,
you're a very patient man, John.
Well, no, I was basically doing some computer simulations that had brought one of my computers to its knees, just spending time grinding away, crunching numbers. And while waiting for the results, I would flip over to C-SPAN's feed on YouTube. And one of the things that was interesting is I don't think I ever logged in where there were more than 25,000 viewers on C-SPAN for the impeachment trial, which was not true last year.
No.
So there wasn't a lot of interest, which may be a good thing for the Democrats, because time and again, they got caught lying
and got called out on it.
And today, during the summing up, they started trying to introduce new evidence during their summing up, to the point where Leahy actually had to stop them and tell them to cut it out.
Yeah, they were wanting to introduce a phone conversation between Trump and McCarthy, Kevin McCarthy of California, the House Majority Leader. And I understand that that was a pretty volatile conversation.
Well,
but
except that it was in the form of hearsay. And
but the point being that if they're going to introduce this in their argument, then, well, why didn't they bring it up in the House, you see?
Well, here's the other thing. Stacey, let me ask you a personal question. Have you ever had the experience of being in a legal wrangle where somebody just wouldn't follow the rules and kept getting called out by the court?
Yeah, I believe we have been through something like that.
It was like deja vu all over again.
Yeah, folks, we were, John and I were among four co-defendants.
Or 24 co-defendants in the other case.
Yeah, but we were four co-defendants in the Maryland case of Kimberlin versus
everybody and their uncle.
Well, actually, the lead defendant was Aaron Walker.
Yes, it was Kimberlin versus Walker et al.
And you were, I think, third back in the line.
You know, it was a defamation case.
And we went on the basis of truth.
Yeah. And they just couldn't prove that we had said anything false.
Well, they never even offered any evidence along that line.
Right.
Not a scintilla, as the judge pointed out.
Yeah. He said, I mean, what he was trying to do was to
shut us up.
It was a smear. It was simply an attack on our character and harassment through legal proceedings or lawfare. And that is exactly what the Democrats were doing with Trump.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And they're going to go right on doing it. You did see today that in New York, they're looking at Trump's properties. They're investigating.
Oh, sure. They're going to do all sorts of stuff. Yeah. And it's going to keep going until the tables are turned on them. So, and the thing is
squealing.
Kimberlin kept going until he got sued back. Mm-hmm. He just barely escaped from those lawsuits in terms of having to pay off. In the first case, though, the judge basically called him a liar, and in the next case, the judge found that Kimberlin had made assertions that weren't true. So, I mean, you know, it's like, and in another case, the one that Stacey wasn't a part of, the judge ruled that Kimberlin was defamation proof. He had such a bad reputation.
Yeah, but
you're going to see those sorts of pushbacks coming, I believe.
Well, I mean, the thing is that you were talking about getting high on your own supply. or it is, you know, believing your own hype. In other words, that if you think
there's a great line from George Patton when that is quoted accurately in the movie Patton, where his aide asked a general, they don't know whether you're acting or not. And Patton's response was, they don't have to know, but I do.
Yeah, well,
and it's just the opposite of that. These people have gotten, they're so disconnected from reality.
Well, part of the problem, and this is a national problem that is persistent, but has gotten worse. And namely that the media is so hopelessly partisan. They had, you know, during the 2016 campaign, I began calling CNN the Clinton News Network, mm-hmm. because it was just straight out campaign propaganda. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that if you're, it is so easy as a liberal, if you were a liberal, it is so easy to shut yourself into an echo chamber and think that every reasonable person agrees with you. Whereas, as conservatives, you know, you consume alternative media in the knowledge that it's alternative. And the problem, and this is very relevant to what happened in the impeachment, or what the pretext for the impeachment is, that if you look at the people who were arrested, who have been charged with, mm-hmm. and the people who were really organized and planned to break into the Capitol, as it were, mm-hmm. those people were on these like Reddit channels and they were listening to Alex Jones or whatever, but they had completely tuned out anything outside this narrow bubble where anyone, including Mike Pence, was guilty of treason if they ratified the election result. Now, I believe that Democrats cheated in the election. Okay, Democrats cheat in every election. Democrats always cheat. They've been cheating ever since there were Democrats. Okay,
Been cheating since before they were actually Democrats.
Right. But the whole point is everybody knows that for instance in Illinois, no Republican can win a statewide election in Illinois because the Democrats dig up dead people to vote in Chicago.
Well, other than governor, they can't elect a governor.
But
they can elect the kind of governor who winds up going to federal prison. Republicans
and Democrats.
Anyways, but the point is that the question is not whether the election was stolen, but what can we do about it? And really, the way it was set up, there really wasn't a legal avenue, okay, to hashtag stop the steal. Well, we could protest, but that was it.
Well, what's going to happen is, remember we talked about not flipping state houses? Well, there are a bunch of Republican-controlled legislatures now that are going to be looking at election integrity. Meanwhile, at least for impeachment 2.0, we can go Shakespearean on them. Wait a minute.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt for just a second, because on Twitter, mm-hmm. Alana Stewart just tweeted, McConnell is a snake. Okay?
The murder turtle.
Yeah. But this is Alana Stewart. Do you know who Alana Stewart is? A former supermodel who married rocker Rod Stewart. She was the inspiration for the song Blondes Have More Fun. Okay? It was...
The interesting thing is she thinks I'm supposed to care.
Yeah, well, McConnell is a snake. Alana Stewart, there's a verse in the song Blondes Have More Fun. Got a rose in Texas, gives me plenty of practice. Well, that was Alana Stewart, who, by the way, is also George Harrison's ex-wife. So she's apparently one of us. I'm just giving you some encouragement out there. She's now a grandmother and everything. But we remember when she was hot. Okay.
Well, yes. Anyway,
I'm going
all Shakespearean on impeachment 2.0 and just settling it with this.
May I, please?
Would you read the more Shakespearean impeachment 2?
The baseless fabric of this vision. And, like this insubstantial pageant faded, leave not a rack behind.
Yeah, well, Daniel, that's not the same Shakespearean play that made it last earlier in the week.
No, that's A Midsummer Night's Dream. The other is...
This is Tempest.
I'm sorry.
I know, because I played Caliban.
Ooh.
Even though it was radio, I think they cast me based on my looks. But anyway, you laugh. Richard Burton did it on TV. So
I know he did. I enjoyed it too. Anyway,
in the other one, I guess
Caliban.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You yeah. as Caliban.
Yes, yeah, so okay. on the radio.
On the radio.
Yeah, and hey, it's a good role.
Mm-hmm. It actually is. He's got a lot of good lines.
it's easy to steal the play in that role. But in any case, in the other play, I was the porter in the second witch. Anyway, okay. Speaking of Georgia, there's nothing to see here. Move along. Forbes reports that U.S. Senator Raphael Warnock is under investigation for voter registration misconduct.
Yep.
Basically, he was the chairman of the board of the voter registration project, the New Georgia project that Governor Stacey Abrams has been running. And anyway, they apparently didn't bother with turning in registration forms in a timely manner. So this has been forwarded to the state's attorney general for further dealing with. By the way, Warnock, since he was elected to fill an unexpired term, is up for re-election in 2022. How's that playing in Valdosta?
Okay, let me tell you a little tiny story here. The current mayor of Valdosta actually is a radio host, a morning radio host. He owns two radio stations. He is currently facing ethics complaints from the NAACP's chapter here in Lowndes County and two or three other, frankly, Democrat organizations, because he was commenting on this story, the same story. He was commenting on it. And by doing so, evidently that somehow or other violates his ethical obligations as mayor. Trust me, I don't think it does. And I think that this is just another case of...
That's a bunch of anti-First Amendment shut-uppery.
Yeah, there's some things about being an elected official, blah, 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 blah. Nonetheless.
Right, elected officials have stronger First Amendment protection.
They actually do. However, be that as it may, they're screaming for his resignation. It's the usual tempest in a teapot, small town stuff. It'll pass. But I don't like how it looks and how it feels and how it plays into the future, but less because I'm concerned about Scott James Matheson than I'm concerned about something I'm watching rolling here. Let's be really honest, most people, if you're not an actual committed partisan, don't pay very much attention. What you pay attention to is when there's noise, when there's a scandal, when there's yelling. You remember I said it before the runoff. I thought the ads, the attack ads on Warnock, were not working. Warnock's reply ads were this warm, friendly, avuncular guy. They're going to play that same game. Anytime they're going to have attacks at the Republicans. They don't care about who the candidate is, how Republicans are reacting with hate to Warnock. They're not afraid of Warnock. They're afraid of you is the theme. And they're going to keep doing this. And they're going to roll it from rural Georgia up through the smaller cities, up through the bigger cities. It's intended to make sure that Georgia stays blue, even if people like me think that this is insane. Anyway, forward march.
Well, yeah. But, you know, it's the whole thing about the First Amendment and other and protections people enjoy.
By the way, a lot
of people stopped caring about this First Amendment a while ago.
Well, all they need to do is get sued for defamation. But go ahead, Stacey.
Yeah.
By the way, T.J. Ducklow has on Twitter has announced that he is resigning as White House press secretary. he threatened a reporter, quote, "I will destroy you," because she was reporting on his relationship. He was the Biden's deputy. He was a Biden campaign press staffer who became deputy White House press secretary. And he was threatening reporters if they reported on the fact that he was intimate with a journalist who was assigned to cover the White House. So anyways, he has now resigned and so everything is falling apart. Trump is acquitted again.
But you know, you and I have successfully defended ourselves from what we've written at the other McCain and Hogwash and the public comments we've made. In my case, I think you were in two or three of the lawsuits. I was in eight of them, alleging defamation. And I successfully won those five times as a pro se defendant. And only one of those cases made it to trial. We've talked about that from time to time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but if I properly understand what lawyers have told me, truth is an absolute defense to a defamation claim any place in the country. But there's some jurisdictions that place a particular burden on the plaintiff to prove that the offending remarks are false. And Maryland's one of those states, which is why we won the case we talked about earlier in the evening. Mm-hmm. It looks to me like the District of Columbia is another one, because there's a case called Lane versus Random House. And in that decision, the court says the burden of proving falsity rests squarely on the plaintiff. He or she must demonstrate either that the statement is factual and untrue, or an opinion based implicitly on facts that are untrue. So Dominion Systems is suing Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani for $1.3 billion in D.C. And I think it's going to be real interesting to show how they prove that what the defendant said was false.
They're going to have a problem with that.
Yeah. So we're going to see how that happens. We don't need $1.3 billion to keep our operation going, but we do appreciate support from our readers and our listeners, don't we, Stacey?
Yes. And now it is time to talk about the shameless capitalist part of the podcast, namely the yellow button. Folks, if you will go to my blog, theothermccain.com, you will notice near the top of the center column a yellow button with one word on it, and that one word is donate. If you will click the yellow button, it will take you to my PayPal account where you can contribute to the support of the blog and the podcast. And this will make my wife very happy every time you hit the tip jar. This helps to support what I do here. Meanwhile, over at my good friend John Hoag's blog, Hoagwash.com.
There is in the sidebar an icon of a tip jar. And if you click on that, you'll be taken off to PayPal and my PayPal account where you can help support the blog. Or you can scroll down and click on that icon of a hat, and it will take you to the Hoagwash store where you can buy all sorts of things that are branded one way or another in ways related to the blog. Or you can do your Amazon shopping through links that you find on various blogs, including Hoagwash and the other McCain. And when you use those links, the bloggers who are participating in the Amazon Associates program actually get a small commission, which helps support those blogs. A great way to support lots of bloggers out there. Regardless, you need to remember the five most important words in the English language.
Hit the freaking tip jar.
Yes, please. It helps us keep going. And we bring this up in each podcast because we're looking out for our own interests about keeping it going. Meanwhile, in D.C., look, when a political party.
Wait a minute. Sorry. I have lost the thread here, but go ahead.
When a political party gets firm control on the levers of power, it's not surprising that they'll begin to take action that promotes the interests of the party's supporters. For example, Donald Trump and Cocaine Mitch put a lot of conservative judges on the bench, right? Including three associate justices of the Supreme Court. Joe Biden's doing the same sort of thing for his supporters. For example, he's nominated William J. Burns to head the CIA. Now, Mr. Burns, and why do I keep thinking that this is Burns and Smithers? But never mind. Mr. Burns is president of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, and that's a think tank that reportedly has been accepting funds from sources with close ties to the Chinese Communist Party.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing out of the ordinary here. It's just a return to the old normal. Like I said, there's nothing to see here. Move along. Or actually, that's more of a theme that you might put on the report that was from Agence France-Presse that was published this week, saying that North Korea and Iran have resumed their mutual cooperation on long-range missile development, according to a report that was submitted to the UN Security Council, which also confirmed that the NORCs are violating a bunch of UN resolutions related to nuclear weapons development. President Biden has said that we should rejoin the Iranian nuclear deal. So, Yeah. Well, it's all sound and fury like was happening earlier in the week. By the way, Andrea Mitchell, who tried to correct Senator Cruz on that, received her BA in English literature from Penn in 1967. And she had a really bad day on Twitter that day. Not recognizing that the sound and the fury is, yes, it's a title of a Faulkner novel, but it's also the original source of the quote is from Macbeth, which, like I said, I played the porter and the second witch, which reminded me then of some other lines from the play. This is from the three witches, or it could be the impeachment managers. Fair is foul and foul is fair.
I'll give thee a wind.
Well, that could be the second witch or Eric. And then the three witches An impeachment manager's again, a deed without a name. It's just, you know, but here I am. I'm a electrical engineer, not an English literature major. So
I liked the last line of it because it sums up the whole nonsense of the impeachment. Our revels now are ended.
Yeah. Well, that's back to the Tempest. That's actually the beginning of the Prospero's speech that I quoted from earlier. I also, though, you know, as one of those knuckle-dragging engineers who actually has read Faulkner, included a quote from The Sound and the Fury as today's quote of the day at Hogwash. A man is the sum of his misfortunes. One day you'd think misfortune would get tired, but then time is your misfortune. And, you know, that kind of fits as a quote for some of our former Republican acquaintances.
Yes. While the impeachment was trundling forward to its predictable failure, speaking of failure, the Lincoln Project imploded this past week. You know, I have been following this story since last month when I first got the salacious gossip about John Weaver, who is a founder. If you don't know what the Lincoln Project is, congratulations. But it's a bunch of never Trump Republican types who decided that they were going to create a political action committee to campaign for the support, essentially, of the Democratic nominee. Mm-hmm. So they are scalawags, as we used to call them, except, of course, mm-hmm. the real scalawags were Republicans, but that's back in the day. But they're turncoats, disloyal. Anyways, and so I had a...
Grifters as well.
Well, you know, the Lincoln Project.
Just because all that money wound up going to the founders' business organizations. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing to see here. Move along.
Yeah. The useful idiots of Never Trump were no longer useful to their establishment benefactors, once Trump was vanquished and the rationale of Never Trump was over, suddenly the open secret of John Weaver's predatory homosexual behavior became newsworthy. Coincidence? I don't think so. Everything is now collapsing in Never Trump land, where the real scandal was how the founders used the reported $90 million they collected as their own personal piggy bank, paying their own consulting firms far more than was ever spent on actual campaign operations. It was about 2-1 or 3-1, by the way, in terms of now consulting. Anyone who knows anything about campaign consulting, but when you know, shake hands with a campaign consultant when it's over with, count your rings. I'll just put it to you that way.
Count your fingers.
Yeah. I'm not saying they're greedy, but they're greedy. Okay. But anyways, the exit of Steve Schmidt from the Lincoln Project was particularly weird. Okay. On his way out the door, he told a story of being molested when he was 13 years old at summer camp. I don't know what that has, you know, and bizarrely announced his conversion to Judaism. Wait a minute. Wait. Steve Schmidt is now going to be a Jew. Yeah. And why would he do that? So that he can accuse you of anti-Semitism if you criticize him. See?
I'd be willing to go to the Bris.
Yeah. Oh, ouch. I don't even want to think about that. But anyways, Ed Driscoll over at Instapundit had a rundown of all the rats fleeing the Lincoln Project sinking ship. And Glenn Reynolds at Instapundit said this: remember, the Lincoln Project was supposedly a bastion of decency fighting against the depraved Donald Trump. Also, as with Harvey Weinstein, everyone knew and everyone kept quiet until the usefulness of keeping quiet ended.
But, you know, at least they did this on Lincoln's birthday, so it was a gift to him.
Yeah. Well, you know, by the way, Jack Posobiec just pointed out tonight on Twitter, the Lincoln Project's Twitter account has been silent since Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, what a coincidence, you know? In other words, that you know, it's like I said, you know, there are coincidences and then there are coincidences. You know what I'm saying? It's like, sure, you know.
Well, look, coincidence is not proof of causation, but it isn't disproof either.
Right. You know, it's like, you know, one of the things that, you know, and I'm a journalist. Okay. This is my day job. This is what I get paid for. That's what I've been doing since 1986.
I gave up on it about 50 years ago and got back into it as a hobby about 10 years ago.
But the point is that skepticism, right? Skepticism is, you know, is essential to being a journalist. That you know, the old saying, and it came from the Chicago Sun-Times newsroom, is that if your mother says she loves you, check it out. Okay.
Well, I mean, it's one thing to get it's amazingly stupid to get high on your own stash, but to get high on a politician's stash when he's trying to flim-flam you, you know, it's just like.
Yeah, it's, you know, but the thing is that these Lincoln Project people, you know, just over and over, and they had 17 appearances on MSNBC in the span of 3 weeks after it first was reported that John Weaver had been stalking young men. They were never asked about it. None of them were ever asked about it because it doesn't fit the narrative.
Well, yes, but see, they no longer are necessary to the narrative.
Right.
You mentioned earlier that isn't it interesting now that Biden is successfully in the White House that the Expendables are being expended?
Right. And see, the thing about the coincidence, right? Okay, is that sometimes you get what's known as a just so story, right? The story that's too good to check out, and it confirms your belief, and so you leave it in other words, that if you run with that story, you're going to regret it.
Well, you know, the problem with following the just so stories is you can wind up over your head in the great gray green greasy Limpopo river, all set about with fever trees. Go ahead, Diana.
I was ranting slightly this morning at breakfast to my husband. Sorry. And I said, you know, my reading of the Lincoln Project was that from the beginning it was a grift. And having taken in all this lovely, the bags and bags of lovely lolly and socked it away, they were planning to quietly go out of existence. I think they were going to sort of wind it down and disappear around June. The implosion is because nobody likes a traitor.
Well, the people who actually came forward with all the accusations, the reason they came forward was that the job opportunities were gone, you see, and they realized that they had been used. Okay, they got chump change. And when they figured out how much, by the way, just coincidentally, Steve Schmidt, in his last appearance on MSNBC, his most recent appearance, from the marble countertops in his kitchen, okay, this gigantic kitchen, $1 million home he bought in Utah. Do you know how much home you can buy in Utah for $1 million? A lot.
Most of a mountain, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. And
other
so,
than, yeah, unless you're right in downtown Salt Lake, but it's a nice spread.
You know, and so the idea that he's going to count it as a win, he gets to count it as a win that he went from being the manager of a Republican presidential campaign in 2008 to being a discredited, pundit 12 years later. He's got, well, that's just a win, see, because of my principles and my integrity.
My principles.
Yeah, and nobody will stand up to these people. You know, it's like you were a Disney star or something.
Yeah, well, it could be worse. It could, for example, you could be a Disney star. Andrew Breitbart made the observation that culture is upstream from politics, and Mark Twain noted that you might get mercy from the law, but you'll never get mercy from the traditions of your community. But I saw Stephen Green over on MeWe posted a picture that I reposted at Hogwash. The title of the post is, I'll just leave this right here on my blog. And it's an interesting picture. Yetsov is Gina yes. Carano, and Stalin is Mickey. And then Mickey is by himself in the next frame.
Mm-hmm. The commissar for those of you, vanishes.
Yeah, it's just terrible the way these things go. But that's what happens when you get...
By the way, in that picture, I believe in the original picture, wasn't it...
Yeshov.
And Yeshov, you've got to know that there is a word, Yeshovina, I think is... Okay, thank you, my Soviet scholar friend. Yeshovchina describes the worst, the lowest point of the purges.
1937, the Great Purge,
Yeah, the darkest hour in Soviet history, really.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you're talking about the guy who is at the top of the NKVD, the secret police, the predecessor of the KGB, and then poof.
And then, he
becomes an unperson.
Eventually, Stalin, said, okay, that's enough. And then they brought in, what's his name?
Beria. Yezhov knew too much. So did the guy ahead of him. Yezhov, never mind. Let me get started. Anyway, but yeah, Beria was just as bad. He was just supposed to dispose of the apparat that ran the majority of the purge. And he did it ruthlessly.
Yeah. But I mean...
But quietly.
Yes. But quietly. But, you know, that's
quiet ruthlessness, huh? Mm-hmm.
But you see, here's the thing. Disney's not going to do well with the sort of behavior that they're inflicting on their fans. You know, and there are a lot of people who have noticed that the live action version of Mulan was filmed, right next to the Uyghur concentration camps, and has a credit thanking the officials who helped them make the movie. Mm-hmm. you know, it just, Walt Disney was a very conservative man, and a brilliant entrepreneur, businessman. And, you know, he's got to be doing at least 300 or 400 RPM in his grave these days. It's just, you know, the company that bears his name is very, very little like the company that I dealt with as a vendor 40 and 50 years ago. It's amazing to see the changes.
Conquest law does apply.
Speaking of stupid people in Congress. Sorry.
Go ahead.
That's what we call a transition.
Yes. Yeah, well.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I was on to the next story and just having
fun. We're waiting.
Gun control is back. The Democrats once again think that they have such a good grip on the levers of power that they're going to be able to get gun control in ways that might get past the Supreme Court.
I remember 1994 when they ran that sucker through.
I remember 1968.
Look up the name Weitch Fowler. Weitch Fowler was the Democratic congressman from 7th District of Georgia.
Look up Chris Dodd, who got the thing through in 68.
But the point is that's how Bob Barr got elected. And they'll tell you it don't touch the Second Amendment.
Not in most parts of the country. But anyway, there. If you go to Hogwash and scroll through one of several, I'm not making this up, you know, posts from this week, you'll find a link to a YouTube video of Sheila Jackson giving an interview in the halls of Congress.
Oh God!
And she's saying, I've held an AR-15 in my hand. I wish I had it. It's as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving and a bullet that it utilized, a 50 caliber. These kinds of bullets need to be licensed and do not need to be on the street.
God, there's no one's, I'm sorry, a Democrat ranting about firearms is always just hysterically funny to anybody who's ever handled a firearm. Go ahead, because your example killed me. I was rolling.
I watched that, and then I went to my gun locker and got out my AR-15 and put it on the scale. And with a sling and a loaded magazine, it weighed just a little less than 9 pounds. So she must have been moving a lot of empty boxes. Now, my AR-15 is an unusual AR-15.
You have 7.62.
Mine's 7.62 by 39, which is the Russian round used in the AK. And the reason I have it is I went to a gun show to buy a 30-30 for deer hunting in the woods here in Maryland. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy who had a Colt AR Sporter. They brought some out in 7.62 by 39, and they just weren't popular. And this guy was willing to sell it to me below cost. So it was cheaper than the Marlin 30-30 I was looking at. So I went, okay, fine. Because it's roughly as power, the rounds are roughly the same power. And I'm comfortable with an AR-15. I lugged an M16 around Vietnam. So I mean, it works for me.
Was she perhaps thinking about an AK-47?
Well, AK-47 is 30 caliber.
Yeah.
Not 50. Yeah, you know, there are a handful of AR-15s that are chambered for a 50 caliber round called 50 Beowulf. Yeah. And that cartridge is roughly equivalent to the old black powder 45-70 round that the Army used in the last decades of the 19th century.
I've fired one of those, and they hurt your shoulder like nothing you could imagine.
Well, I have a Marlin lever action rifle in 45-70.
Do you?
And it's overkill in the woods, which is why I had been using it as my woods deer hunting gun. But it's overkill.
Oh, dear.
So it's very good about not destroying meat and that sort of stuff, because it just whacks them real hard and they fall over and be quiet. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's, you know, we're talking about something that is somewhat more powerful than a 30-30 that the kind of people hunt deer with, mm-hmm. but it's less powerful, for example, than my late wife's 243 Winchester, which is kind of the minimum power level that you can use for hunting deer in most states. Anyway, by the way, Lee's proposed legislation would ban weapons greater than 50 caliber. Guess what?
More opposing.
Guess what? They're already restricted under federal law as destructive devices. However, the law does allow the ATF to exempt weapons and ammunition for sporting purposes, which is why 28 gauge and 20 gauge and 16 gauge and 12 gauge and 10 gauge shotguns are still legal. I mean, the smallest of those are 28 gauge is like 55 caliber. Mm-hmm. So Lee is seeking to ban the double-barreled shotguns that Joe Biden recommends that we should have for personal defense in our home. I mean, it's just, it's not working well, I don't think. That's the bad news about guns. There is good news about guns. CZ, which is an interesting company in Czechoslovakia.
Czech Republic, rather.
Well, Czechoslovakia originally, Czech Republic now, is that the company, country's been partitioned. CZ has announced that it's buying coal. And that's actually good news. CZ USA is building a headquarters operation in and a manufacturing facility in just outside of Little Rock, Arkansas. I think it's in the town that's called Port of Little Rock. You know, I'm not really surprised, because through the years, I've often thought there'd be good synergy between the two companies. And Colt at one time was selling a 40 caliber CZ pistol under the Colt brand briefly during the 90s. So, you know, there's going to be some good engineering exchanges between the two groups. And Colt has been historically mismanaged for the last 50, 60 years. And CZ has got the kind of management that should be able to straighten that out. So, the only thing that I think is kind of interesting to watch and what's coming up there is how long it will take the state of Connecticut's anti-gun policies to get Colt moved from Hartford to Little Rock.
Yeah.
Not many.
probably not. But, you know, there it is. Meanwhile, back in my hometown of Nashville, sticking with
congratulations, congratulations to Hank, a YouTuber has won the coveted Darwin Award for those who eliminate themselves from the gene pool. Timothy Wilkes had a great idea for a YouTube prank. Fake a robbery by charging at people with a giant knife. The result was not funny. A man was shot and killed Friday night in Nashville after wielding a butcher knife for a robbery prank intended for YouTube, police said. Officers were called to the parking lot of Urban Air Trampoline and Adventure Park around 9:20 p.m., according to a news release from Nashville police, who said Timothy Wilkes, 20, and his friend brandished knives and approached a group that included David Starnes Jr., 23. Police said Starnes shot Wilkes in what he thought was self-defense. Anyways, the case is under investigation. No charges have been filed against Starnes. And if you think that was funny, you have a sick, dark sense of humor. Sadly, I'm just reporting the news.
Actually, you know, perhaps the young man really never heard.
Failed to think it through.
Well, either that or maybe he just never got the message that you're not supposed to bring a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah.
The only exception I will allow for that is a bayonet.
Yeah. You know, I was just, you know, while y'all were talking about the other thing, by the way, there have been a series of brutal stabbings on the A train in New York, the A train to Brooklyn, that is, the subway train. And so I think it's time for common sense knife control laws in
actually,
New York.
New York has them.
Oh, really?
Yes. The New York has knife control.
Well, it's not working because people.
Well, there's gun control.
The thing is, if you're going to stage a violent, what seems like a violent crime, in anywhere, you probably don't want to do it in Tennessee, where people tend to be armed. Okay. It's like it's not a good thing. But meanwhile,
well, let me
crazy put it, people
are dangerous.
Are dangerous.
Yeah. It's your story, Stacey. Okay. Run with it.
The headline at the blog is theothermccain.com. He throws in shamelessly plugging his own site. Fame whore update. Hurry up, guys. Julia Allison is available again. Now, folks, if you don't remember Julia Allison, once upon a time, about 15 years ago, she was the hottest thing in shoe leather. Okay. She was a advice columnist, sex advice columnist for various New York publications and websites, who managed to become such a fixture on the party scene in New York that she became kind of a running joke with Gawker. That was before Gawker got sued out of business by Hulk Hogan. So she was kind of a celebrity. And at one point, she actually had her own TV series, a reality TV show that lasted, I think, 9 episodes or something like that. But it didn't work out. So about 3 years ago, she wrote a column in the New York Post saying that what had happened to her is that she had watched the HBO series Sex in the City and decided to make that her model of life, her roadmap to romance. And it didn't work out, and it didn't work out, and it didn't work out. Every one of her relationships has gone down in flames, okay? It's like the Hindenburg at Lakehurst over and over again. Once upon a time, she actually was the girlfriend of John Sidney Jack McCain IV, son of the Arizona senator. But like all her other relationships, that ended badly about 6 months into their affair after she had moved into Jack's apartment and she was reportedly evicted by Jack's mother, Cindy McCain. So there's the brush with the fame there. So but she's out there, folks. She's out there at 39 years old. Her latest relationship has gone down in flame, as predicted. So if you're looking for some action, you might want to try that. But
I don't think I will. I mean, I'm single again as a widower, and it just this has no attraction.
Yeah.
The chance of 73-point checklist that worries me.
Yeah, the chance that might die under suspicious circumstances. That's what you've got to worry about. But anyway, speaking of updates, you're simply not going to believe this one. Caitlin Hunt in 2013. She became a cause celebre. She became a sort of a civil rights hero to the gay rights movement. because she was accused of illegally having sex with a 15-year-old girl in Myers, Vero Beach, Florida. I'm sorry.
I have a friend who was a cop there. It's a long story. Go on.
Indian River County. But anyways, the girl was 15. The statute of limitations is 16, or the age of consent is 16. And so, but guess what? She's with a man now, and she just had a baby. And so I guess anybody, anything can happen when you're crazy. And so, but I hear the boogie-woogie music in the background. And so we're going to go through one more verse in that boogie-woogie music before we get through there. And I'm going to tell you that 7 o'clock every Saturday night, we're live here with the other podcast. And my good friend John Hogue, you can read at hoguewash.com.
And Stacy's blogging as at theothermccain.com. And Diana, thanks for joining us again.
Any old time.
All right. And we're going to see you next Saturday night, 7 o'clock. We are out of here. I keep going down the road. Well, now they call me the queen. I keep going down the road. I ain't got me nobody. I don't care if people know. Mr. Breeze.